Trigger warning, this episode contains discussion of miscarriage, baby loss, and fertility issues. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Self Care Club. I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In honour of Mother's Day, which was yesterday in the UK, we wanted to bring you a show about motherhood.
Yes.
I constantly feel like I could be doing better. I always tell myself that I am a shit mum. And I am doing a bit of a shit job. That's how I feel about it.
What I find most interesting about that is that in every other area of your life, including your work, because I'm with you nearly every day, you always say to me, I trust my instinct.
I just always think I could do it better.
What does that look like?
No, not could do it better. I always think I should be doing it better.
What does that look like?
I don't know.
But before we jump into today's episode, we just want to take a moment to acknowledge any of our listeners who may have lost their mother or who are estranged from them, and also to anyone experiencing fertility struggles or the loss of a child. We know that Mother's Day can be a really difficult day for a lot of people, and we send you our love.
This episode is sponsored by Horizon Studios.
If you're travelling this year and looking for high quality, sustainable and beautifully designed luggage, then look no further than Horizon Studios, who've launched two new ranges. The RE Series, the world's most sustainable 97% recycled luggage, and now the revolutionary Air Series, the world's lightest high-end suitcase.
If you have airport anxiety, worrying about the weight of your case when it goes on those scales, then the Air Series is for you, and it is definitely for me. The Air Series pushes the boundaries of travel. Each detail is designed and engineered to combine an ultralight and durable product. It's significantly lighter than regular suitcases. Thank goodness, Lauren, that is brilliant. And it comes with a lifetime warranty because the most sustainable suitcase is the one that you only buy once. We used the cases to go to Paris and Wales last year, and as chronic overpackers, we could still wheel them around with ease.
We could. Ultralight and compact, the Air Series is made from a premium polycarbonate hard shell with reduced thickness and a recycled lining. It's 100% vegan and produced in a way that is 99% waste-free, blending design and function seamlessly. So, Nicole, you can pack those extra five pairs of shoes with no stress.
The entire range is available on the Horizon Studios website and in all leading department stores. Just go to www.horizon-studios.com.
Horizon Studios, let's go further.
This week we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple, and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care-club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care-club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
notion.com/self-care-club. We started talking about this show last week and what we were going to do for it. And we had the discussion about just having a conversation about motherhood. And I was very resistant to do that. I really didn't want to have this conversation at all, did I?
Nope. And I thought that the fact that you didn't want to have the conversation was an interesting conversation in and of itself.
Yeah.
Do you want to say why you didn't want to, or do you want to go into that more while we're talking?
I don't know. I still feel really uncomfortable having this conversation, which is really weird because I'm pretty open on here and I don't often feel that way. I don't know if I can summarize it in a sentence. I don't think I can, but I find motherhood very, very challenging.
And I guess that's sort of at the top of all of it.
That's the headline really for you, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think along with that then comes guilt and shame and
stuff.
All of it. All of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a tricky conversation for me. And if I'm being really honest, which I always try to be, we have a very different experience of motherhood.
Mm, we do.
So if I was sat here with somebody that experiences motherhood how I do, then I think it would be a very different conversation, but then that's not going to be a full rounded conversation. Mm. So I don't really know where it's going to go, but I guess that's just a little disclaimer from me that this is just, I don't know, difficult territory.
It's also interesting because I would say, I'm always, of the two of us, the one who's the least happy to be as open and share. I don't really enjoy that.
Which is ironic.
As the cranial osteopath says, you're very contained. You have a very contained system, and that runs through everything
but
in my life.
But it also doesn't work very well with this job.
No, it doesn't, but that's just the truth. And I would say I'm often the one who's more ill at ease or uncomfortable with expressing this sort of stuff. So it's also a different dynamic that's how you're feeling at the top of this show. Because it's normally me who's feeling that.
I think what you don't like to share, and please correct me if I'm wrong, what you don't like to share is anything that makes you feel vulnerable.
Mm. Yeah, I would say that's absolutely correct.
So
yeah.
I don't think you feel vulnerable in motherhood.
I don't.
I feel very vulnerable in motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's why you're probably much more comfortable to have the conversation.
So welcome to my world. It's really not so much fun most weeks.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be a mum?
Do you know what? I don't think it's something that I used to dream about as a little girl, but I always assumed I would be a mum.
Interesting.
What about you?
I wasn't that keen when I was younger. No, not really.
Interesting. Considering what you did for years.
I know.
Very interesting.
No, I wasn't really mad keen on it. And I met Ollie and it wasn't even a question. I mean, we were naming our children long before we were married. So yeah, absolutely. I very, very, very much wanted to. From a very young age. Once I met Ollie.
Right, yeah. That's interesting. And I think a lot of people probably feel a similar way. Don't they?
And I very much wanted to have children with him, and I very much wanted to go through that experience with him. And yeah, it was a definite me.
I mean, Adam was always one to push to have children much earlier than me. And once we'd been together for like a couple of months, he started asking me for babies. I mean, he was desperate for babies.
Yeah.
And I really had to like hold him off until practically the second we got married, I was pregnant. We got married in the May and I had Daisy the following May.
Oh, wow.
So we really didn't wait very long.
Okay. And so it was easy for you to get pregnant?
Thank God it was very easy. The first time was very, very easy.
Yeah.
And you?
I came off the pill literally when we went on honeymoon and I was also pregnant 3 months later.
Yeah.
And I lost the pregnancy at about 6 weeks. And the thing about that was, because I was so young at the time, I was only 24, I think, when that happened. Because I was so young and healthy and nothing had ever gone really wrong for me ever before. It was such a shock, which is so naive because 1 in 3 pregnancies end in miscarriage. But it never occurred to me that would happen. So it was a real sort of wake-up call because I just thought, oh, I'm pregnant, that was so easy, and now we'll have a baby. And then it went away. So that was a big shock. And then it took me 18 months before I got pregnant with Max.
Oh my God. Mm. Wow.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it was absolutely awful. Awful.
And you just got married.
Yeah. And two of my sister-in-laws were pregnant and I just couldn't get pregnant. It just wasn't happening for me. My cycles went haywire and I just lived my life in 2 week cycles, like a good 2 weeks to try and get pregnant, horrible 2 weeks of waiting and then always getting my period and then the disappointment. And I was so young, but I went through this feeling of like, I'm never going to be a mum. I'm never going to have a baby. And it became such a
It's very
thing.
Consuming. It's very all consuming.
It was.
And once you decide
consuming.
You want that baby, you can't, it's impossible to think of anything else.
And we went through all the classic stuff of like, we were on holiday and we'd had an argument, but I was ovulating that day. So we had to have sex because, you know, I had less chances because my periods were so haywire. And it just took so long. And it was really all I wanted. And then we had lunch for my mother-in-law's birthday. And I was sitting at the table with my mother-in-law, my pregnant sister-in-laws, thinking, this is all I want. And it's so unfair that this won't happen for me. And my period was due that day. And I went home and did a pregnancy test. And I was pregnant with Max. And Ollie was away and I couldn't tell him. And obviously that was really worrying that it was going to happen again. But it didn't. And it was him.
Aww. And so he's now 20.
And he's now 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Zachary happened, well, because Max took so long. So with Zach, I thought, well, if it's going to take another 18 months, we better get thinking about it. So I think literally on the Friday, I was like, you know, we should think about trying for another baby soon because if we wanted to leave a 3-year gap, blah, blah, blah. I was pregnant by Sunday. So he came easily.
So interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's like once your body gets it.
Yeah.
It gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. And then I lost 3 pregnancies before I had Josh. So then I had all the trouble all over again to have a 3rd baby.
Wow.
So it was all very hit
and
miss. And
what's the age gap between Zach and Josh?
6 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he was quite hard to come by.
So let's just move into motherhood.
Yeah.
And like how did you find motherhood when you first, you know, you have a baby, everyone's like, your life completely changes and everyone takes to it so differently, don't they?
Mm.
Some people just can't cope with the sleepless nights and some people fall dressed, like so in love with their baby. Some people can't bond. It's just, there's no one size fits all in it. And all the books, they give all this advice that is very binary.
Very.
And actually it's such an all round personal, intimate experience that I don't think a book could ever highlight actually what goes through your mind, your body, all of it.
Well, it's also dependent on so many factors. And having worked as a doula for 16 years and seeing like 200 women have their 1st, 2nd, 3rd, sometimes 4th babies, there are so many factors at play. Like, how are the births? Sometimes women have really traumatic, difficult births, and that means that their bonding with their own baby is delayed or difficult because they look at the baby and they're reminded of that trauma. Sometimes
they're just simply exhausted.
They're exhausted. Sometimes they've had a difficult time with their own mother, so that plays out into their relationship with their baby. Sometimes their partners aren't so great. There's so many things at play.
Yeah.
I was very, very lucky that I had all 3 times extremely straightforward vaginal births. Nothing went wrong. It was just woke up in labour, had a baby by dinner time. No problem. So that, I think that helped with the initial bit. It was very much an instant and immediate love bonding obsession. Like the second I saw Max, he was mine. I knew him. I knew him before I met him, you know. How did you find it?
I bonded with both my babies really, really well, really easily. I also had 2 very straightforward births, so I didn't have that complication at all.
We're so lucky, you know, having seen everything there is to see, everything. Like, I'm so grateful for that experience now because it's not that common.
I know it isn't, actually. Mm. I was telling my girls about that the other day, about the births, and I adored these babies and I felt like I came into, especially with Daisy, who was my first, I just came into my own as a mum of a newborn.
Mm.
And I loved being a mum of a newborn.
Me too.
I think it sounds really sad to say it because it's such a small part of the motherhood journey, but I think it was one of my favourite parts of motherhood because you get to know this little thing and you get to fall in love with this little thing and bond with it and be with it and kind of time stand still.
Yeah.
You don't have to be anywhere else. You don't have to do anything else. It was the first time I'd stopped work in the whole time that since I'd started work at 16, and I just adored it.
Yeah. It's quite interesting because I think often with the first baby, you're in such a rush for them to crawl and then talk and then walk and then do all the first things because you want to see them. And then with subsequent babies, you just don't want them ever to change. You don't want time to move on.
Well, you understand better that everything's a phase.
It's so precious.
And everything is so short-lived.
Yeah. I mean, Josh, by the time I had Josh, and he came so much later and he was so difficult to have, that he felt like such a prize to have had him. It was so, I worked so hard to get him. And I just didn't want anyone to disturb our bubble. I mean, I didn't even like flowers being delivered. I just wanted to be me and him all day together, just breastfeeding, having baths together, being in bed together,
but
going for walks together.
How does that
together.
Work with the rest of your family?
Well, they were both at school because there was such a gap. They were both at school all day. So I had the whole day while the other two were at school to just literally be with this baby. And we were just so in our baby love bubble. I just adored every single second of having him because I've just really appreciated how hard it was to get him to be here, you know. I love having babies. I love being pregnant. I love all of it.
I didn't like being pregnant at all. I hated being pregnant, in fact. I absolutely hated it. I hated it.
Why? What did you hate?
I hated feeling, I felt enormous. I hated that. I really, really struggled with it. And I don't think women are honest enough about that. I really couldn't cope with my body changing at all. I felt very sick they're all very box standard. I just didn't enjoy it.
Mm.
I felt tired. I felt lethargic. I felt quite emotional. I just didn't feel like I blossomed. I just could not wait. And everyone always says to you, oh, it's easier when they're in there.
When they're on the inside.
And I just thought that's a lie because I found it so difficult. I wasn't sleeping. The babies were very active in my stomach, which is no surprise now, you know, my girls. And I just felt really shit. Mm. So once they came out, it was such a relief to have this baby out of my body so I could actually enjoy this baby and enjoy my body again.
Mm.
I just didn't cope with it well.
I really loved it because I think I wanted to be pregnant so much. I really, really loved it. And I felt like my body was doing this amazing thing on autopilot. Like every day the baby would develop something new and I wasn't doing anything and it was just all happening. I felt like at my fullest.
I mean, yes, there is all of that happening.
I felt my most womanly is what I mean. I felt like I came in, do you know what I mean?
Utterly disgusting. My skin was awful. I looked awful. It didn't suit me. Pregnancy did not suit me. You know how some people are pregnant, you're like, oh, they look amazing. They are glowing. I was not that person.
I didn't look great the first time. Second time I did. Third time I was a little bit older, but I loved it. I loved the feeling of it, I think.
So have you found motherhood different between your three children?
Fushes. Yeah. First time's like the experiment child. You don't know what you're doing. You just muddle along as best you can. Second one, like you get that everything's phase. Even the worst bits, the toilet training, the bits that are hard.
But let's come
easier.
Later on into motherhood. Even now, I still, even though I know that my kids are so different.
Yeah.
That I don't know what's a phase for one and what's a phase for other because they're completely different. So their experiences are completely different.
The phases are definitely different when they're older, but like the baby thing, like you know they're going to have their jabs and be grumpy for a day. Like
you know they're
going to
start walking, you know they're going to be weaned off milk and onto food and all of that.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the phase of them being at nursery and then going to school and of course, and then eating at 5 p.m. and then eating with you and then the 7 p.m. bedtime and all of those things are a phase. So now that my kids are older, my kids are 13 and 16 or about to be 16, it doesn't feel as phase-like.
It's not, for sure. But I always used to say to my clients, if every parent could be a second-time parent the first time around, we'd all have it easier because you get it. You just get it. And with the third one, I think we were, 10 years older than when we had the first. And we were just very, very relaxed with him and comfortable and confident and... So yeah, they've all been a different experience, I would say.
Mm.
How do you think that fundamentally as a woman, as a person, motherhood changed you? Did it change you? And if so, how?
I think it changed everything. Because firstly, my priorities completely changed. Mm. Because suddenly I'm now responsible for these two people.
Yeah.
And they are going to be my absolute focus in life. They're the things that are going to come first, before Adam, before anything, before work, before anything. So there's that. It's not that I felt such a huge burden of responsibility. I don't really feel that with motherhood. I just, there's a lot of it that I have really struggled with in terms of how it changed me. It changed my path. It changed my career. I have really struggled with that. Mm. I've struggled with how it's had to slow me down. I've struggled with how the choices that I've had to make. That's not to say I would change it. I wouldn't. I appreciate that I was in a fortunate position that I could take my kids to school and I could pick them up every day.
Yeah.
And I could be at home to cook them dinner
yeah.
whilst I ran my own business.
Yeah.
It's not luck. It's I was in a good industry
yes.
and I created my job.
Around your children.
To work around my children. Yeah. But I was in a good industry for yeah. that in hairdressing. Yeah. But it was very much intentional and I found it really hard.
Yeah.
As much as I appreciated it, I found it very difficult. Mm. I still find it quite difficult because if I look at Adam's career versus my career, they have gone in very different directions.
Mm.
And I wish I could tell you I was okay with it, but I'm not.
Do you feel resentful of it? Not of the children, but of the position that you and women generally are put in that when they become mothers, sometimes things have to take a back seat or just do take a back seat?
Hugely, hugely resentful. Mm. And listen, Adam and I got married. We've been married 17 years. Mm-hmm. So when we were both traveling a lot, and I think I've spoken about this on here before, we were both traveling loads for work.
Yeah.
And I was an editorial hairdresser, which means that I was traveling around. I was working in TV and I was working for magazines and I was doing all of that sort of stuff. But because we were both traveling all the time and we had this very young child with a baby, it wasn't manageable.
Mm.
We both couldn't be out the country.
Of course
someone
not.
Had to be at home.
Yeah.
And it was never going to be him. Mm. It was always going to be me. Mm. That wasn't even a discussion. If that happened now, I would like to think we would discuss it and find a route so that both of us could fulfill our needs and do what we wanted to do and work together in the parenting space. But we didn't back then. And that's not to say he's to blame. I think the conversation was just very different for women. Mm. And do I think it's so different now? I don't think it's as different as I'd want it to be. I appreciate the time that I had with my girls and I wouldn't change it, but I felt for a very long time that my career basically took an enormous backseat.
Yeah.
And that was very devastating to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know how to do both in the capacity that I wanted to.
Mm. I get
and that. I think that has fed a lot into my motherhood experience, even on a very intricate daily level.
Well, even on a subconscious level, because subconsciously you're like, I have sacrificed a lot for this.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's not, I'm not blaming my kids.
Of course not, because you chose to have them and wanted to have them.
I don't even know, I'm not blaming anything
yeah.
or anybody. I think that's just where we find ourselves.
Mm.
That's just the society and the culture in which we live. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some women out there screaming, listening to this, saying, that is not how it is. I'm the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And that is brilliant. Mm. But 17 years ago, this was not a conversation for us.
Yeah.
It should have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't allow that to happen now.
Yeah.
How do you think motherhood changed you?
I think the second I was a mother, I went from being the picture to the frame. Like, you are the centre of your own world when it's just you. And then once the babies come along, they are the centre and you are just what surrounds it. And I think I was fine with that.
It's an amazing analogy. You went from the pitch to the frame.
Yeah. And I think that's true. And I was also working full time. I was an actor's agent. I worked 5 days a week. And we had lots of conversations about it. And I was very clear that I wanted to be at home with the kids, certainly for an amount of time. And I didn't want a nanny and I didn't want au pairs and I didn't want to birth these babies and feed these babies and hand them over to somebody else. That was just my personal preferences. No judgment on anybody who does that and works full time and has people look after their kids. That was just not what I wanted for myself.
But isn't that so interesting? So we both even come at this from a completely different perspective. Because I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want someone else doing it. I didn't want someone else raising my kids. But I also didn't want to be at home breastfeeding this stay-at-home mum. I just never wanted that for myself.
I never thought I would want that for myself. But I did. And I do wonder if sort of the struggle to have these babies was part of what fed into that. Was like, I was so...
Maybe.
Possibly. I can't tell you because I only have my own experience to go by, or whether I would have been like that, however it had come about. But I felt very passionately about being there all the time to be with them and raising them. And I very much wanted that. And I very much enjoyed it. And I felt very fulfilled. Not to say that every day was like a holiday, because obviously there are really hard bits with mothering a baby. And I was also really young. I was 25 when I had Max. My friends didn't even have husbands, let alone babies.
But our motherhood experience goes way beyond having a baby.
Of course.
So I guess what I'm saying is, in this conversation, like everything, it to me, the baby bit is such a small part of it because it's such a short period of time. But actually, you know, you and I have been mothers. You've been a mother for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been a mother for nearly 16 years.
Yeah.
And there is so much more experience, wisdom, knowledge in all those years stepping away from that baby part. I don't know what my point is on that. I guess I don't want to focus solely on when they were little.
No, but it is, it's what starts it off, isn't it? It's what starts it off. It's that change of identity. And I very much remember that the first time, like going shopping without Max for the first time and going into Topshop. I think we've had this conversation.
We have had this
before.
Conversation. I had exactly the same experience.
And I didn't know what to buy.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to buy because now I was Max's mum. And before, the last time I went shopping, I wasn't anyone's mum. And there was a huge identity shift in that for me. And I didn't have loads of my close friends. None of them had babies. So on the one hand, I had no one to compare myself to. That was great. I didn't have like my best friend with this sort of baby and I had another sort of baby. So it was like I was this great mum because I was the only mum. But also I had these sort of long, cold winter afternoons in a playground with a swing thinking, oh, wow, like some of these afternoons are long and difficult and sometimes a bit boring. And I think a lot of people don't talk about that.
I am very conscious of saying anything that would offend anybody. I love my girls and I'm very proud of them and they are the most important things in my life. But I find motherhood desperately difficult.
What is the hardest thing about motherhood for you?
It's a good question. I was going to say being emotionally available, but that's actually not it.
By the way, you're very emotionally available.
Emotionally available. But my youngest one doesn't want me to be emotionally available. I really struggle with that. What is the hardest thing? I guess knowing that I'm doing the right thing, trusting my own judgment, wondering if I'm raising good, decent people. Just those questions of, is this the right choice? I constantly feel like I could be doing better. I always tell myself that I am a shit mum and I am doing a bit of a shit job. That's how I feel about it.
What I find most interesting about that is that in every other area of your life, including your work, because I'm with you nearly every day, you always say to me, I trust my instinct. I trust myself.
I do.
And I trust my instinct.
I do.
So for you to say, I don't trust myself on that.
I don't trust myself. It's not that I don't. That's a good point. It's not I don't trust myself. It's not like, I just always think I could do it better.
What does that look like?
No, not could do it better. I always think I should be doing it better.
What does that look like?
I don't know.
What does someone
I don't know
who...
because I have a lot of noise around how other people do it. Like I've had to unfollow people on social media because they stick their parenting all over the place, and they make it look effortless and glamorous and fun and intimate and loving and all these things that we should be feeling in motherhood, where I just find it hard. I find it hard. And I have a beautiful relationship with my eldest daughter. She is turning into a lovely young woman, and I am so proud of her, and we are really close, and she tells me everything, and we have a gorgeous connection, and we have a lovely relationship, which is, I'm super proud of it. So none of it really makes a lot of sense.
It makes zero sense, because you know, logically, that that hasn't happened in a vacuum. That's happened partly because of the mothering you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I feel like I am always rushing my kids, or I'm always wanting to get on to the next thing, or there's always something else I need to do, or I never feel present enough with them. I find it hard to be present with them. I don't know what that is.
Patience is what I'm hearing. You find it hard to be
patient. I don't have any patience.
I don't either, by the way.
I don't have any patience. And yet, at the same time, of course, I want them to feel acknowledged and validated. And I had a conversation with my daughter this morning about something that happened yesterday. And I said to her, I see you, and I hear it, and I understand it, and I understand why you feel this way, which is all true. And I wanted her to feel validated, which I hope she did. So it's a bit of a mess for me.
Do you know how many people, girls and boys, go through life never hearing that from their mother or never feeling that from their mother? That's like an amazing thing to be able to give or receive as a child, to have a mother who says, I see you, I hear you, I want to talk to you about your problem. I'm validating your problem. It's not nonsense. I'm not brushing it under the carpet and sending you to school without discussing it with you.
I just it's always, big, I know.
So
I know, but I always feel like I am doing it wrong, or I always make myself feel like I am doing it wrong.
I don't know what wrong looks like to you.
No, because there's no right or wrong in parenting. And then, you know, and I spend a lot of time with you, and you just breeze through it. You just seem to breeze through it. There's never a moment where you are overwhelmed with parenting, or you are whatever it is I'm experiencing. It just doesn't happen in your world. And I sometimes find that really... Well, I've said this to you before, I find it completely foreign. I don't get it. And if I'm being really honest, and it's all my stuff, I find it very triggering at times because it's just not my experience.
But it's very different. I have boys, three boys. They're 20, 17 and 11. I don't have girls. I've never raised girls. From what I see, not from you, but generally, they seem more challenging. I find boys very straightforward, and when I speak to mothers of boys, they seem to say the same thing: feed them, exercise them, love them, basically treat them like puppies. So I wonder if simply the experience of only having sons is just a more straightforward parenting experience. I can't speak for mothers of all sons, only of my own.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, because I don't have daughters.
And what is interesting is that my girlfriends who I deeply resonate with in motherhood, two of my friends especially, they have daughters as well.
Right. So I do wonder if it's that. And secondly, you know, when I was thinking about it this morning, I'm like, look, I am fucking hashtag blessed. My children don't present me with challenges, as in the most basic ways. I'm not dealing with allergies, eczema, asthma. They're neurotypical children. They don't even wear glasses. I mean, I was at least dealing, you know, I have glasses from the age of seven. I'm not really dealing with much. There's not much on my plate in terms of mothering these boys. They are absolutely straightforward people. And I can't put that down to my mothering of them, because...
But you just said exactly the opposite to me. Like, if I said I'm proud of my daughter, and you're like, well, that is because you are her mother. And that, so you are part, of course, your influence is huge on these kids.
My influence is big on these kids, but they also are very, very easy kids to be a mother too.
But that's like what came first, the chicken or the egg?
I don't know. I feel, and I have felt from day one, and I don't want to be like hated for saying this, but I feel very secure and confident in my ability to mother.
And can I just say something? I just need to highlight this. We both said the same thing, but said the opposite thing. We both said, I don't want to be hated for what I'm about to say. Mm. And you said, because I'm a secure mum. And I said, because I find motherhood desperately challenging. Mm. And we're both worried about people hating us for saying that. And we've said the opposite thing.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
But we both have the same concern.
But it's ridiculous, isn't it? Really?
What is that?
I don't know. I think because, well, it's for opposite reasons. I don't want to sit here looking and feeling like I'm smug, because I don't feel smug about it. It's just there are many areas in my life where I don't feel particularly confident or brilliant at lots of things. Motherhood isn't one of them. It comes to me naturally. I think I'm a really good mum, and I don't ever question or waver on that. But I also have made different decisions to my own parenting. I've done it in the way that I want to, and I don't feel, thank God, it's presented me with many challenges apart from the fertility side. And possibly because it was a struggle for me to become a mum, it was so important for me to be a mum, I feel very grateful for it. I feel like I don't care what I do the rest of my life. I could win an Oscar and a fucking Nobel Peace Prize. Nothing will be as important as it is to me to be a mother. It is the fundamentally most important bit about who I am. I'm a mother first, and everything else is kind of secondary and irrelevant to me. It's great, but to me, it's the most important thing.
Well, my kids are the most important thing to me, without a doubt. They're the most important thing in my life. Is it, do I identify as being a mum first? No, I don't think I do. I mean, it's, if someone says, tell me about yourself, I would probably say, I'm 47 years old.
The first thing you say, I've got two girls.
Well, I probably wouldn't. I would probably say, I'm 47 years old. I've been married to Adam and I've got two girls.
Yeah.
There's your basics.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the most interesting thing about me. I don't know what it is, by the way. I don't have an answer to that. Because I've always felt like a bit of a rubbish mum. It makes me very sad.
I really hate it when you say that, because you are so obviously not.
Well, but based on what?
Because I see you with your children, and I see how they are, and I see how available you are to them, and how much you fight for them, and how much you stand in their corner, and how much whenever there's a problem, you take it seriously, and you listen to it, and you engage with it, and you deal with it, and you get Adam in on it, and you do it together. And all I see is a really involved, caring, emotionally available mother. And that is so important for a child. What's more important than that for a child?
I think my you know, it's just it's hard at the moment. It's very hard. But even before it was difficult, and I'm not going into it because it's just not for public consumption, I've just always felt this way. And actually, I feel really sad and really ashamed that I feel this way. No, not ashamed. That's wrong. I just feel really sad for myself. Because if one of my friends was saying that to me, it would just break my heart. And it kind of does. And then I was out for dinner with my sister and one of her friends yesterday. We went to the theatre with my girls and her niece. And what would have been, it was a really difficult day. My girls did not stop fucking arguing. And by the end of it, I came home and I was exhausted and I was drained and I was in a really bad mood and I was pissed off with both of them. And it was just a whole slanging match when we got in, and it was just a horrible day. And it was like, you know, if I'd have put that on social media, would have looked perfect.
Of course.
We were at Jamie and then we went for pizza after, and I was with my sister and her friend brought her niece, and it was all like, girls stay out, hashtag blessed, all that shit. And it really wasn't that experience at all. My girls were pissing me off all day. They were fairly ungrateful. They didn't stop arguing. They had a whole massive row, went to the loo in the interval, and I came back, they had the massive row about the spoon and the ice cream had broken or whatever. I don't even care. And then my sister's friend said to me, oh, what's Daisy doing next year? Because she's got her A-levels. And I said, oh, she's been awarded a performing arts scholarship at her school. to stay on for A-levels. And she said, oh my God, that's amazing. And I said, yeah, it is amazing. And she said, hasn't Lily Rose, my youngest, isn't she on a sports scholarship? I said, yeah. Mm. She goes, so you've got two kids with two scholarships. Mm. I said, yeah. Mm. And you know what the first thing I said to her was, I guess I must be doing something right.
Mm.
And she goes, well, obviously. I said, no, I mean it.
Mm.
Maybe I am actually doing something right. Mm. Maybe they're doing okay, better than I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe the reason that they feel safe to act out and fight and do all that stuff is because they know that it's safe to be able to do that. You know, children.
Well, it might be safe, but it was not okay.
No, but
it was not okay.
Children who are in homes that aren't emotionally safe don't feel able to do that. They feel like they have to be well behaved all the time.
Mm. Yep.
I don't know where you've got this story from that you tell yourself, but it's wrong.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you that. It's wrong. It's wrong because you're a good mum. And I shouldn't have to even sit here and say that to you. But if you need me to sit here and say that to you, I will say it to you. You're a really good mum.
Thanks. Thanks. Maybe it's something I think it's probably something I need to look at and need to work on because I don't want it to inform how I parent. I don't.
You don't parent like a shit mum. You parent like a good mum.
There's sometimes I make choices that I know are lazy because I just can't be bothered, or I can't be bothered to fight, or I can't be bothered to.
Because you're human.
Well, yeah, but some days are harder than others. Some days you just don't have the energy for it.
Yeah.
And it's just hard. I find it hard, and I honestly wish I didn't find it hard. I wish I had your experience of it. But I don't.
But not every day is fucking sunshines and rainbow in my house. I'm sorry. I don't want to make out like it is. It really isn't. It really isn't. It's very normal. I deal with all the stuff that everybody else deals with. You know, I do. Are you the kind of mother that you expected that you would be?
No. Fucking hell, no. I honestly thought I would be sitting on the bed at bedtime and brushing their hair and singing them a song. And
what, at 15?
No.
Right.
When I were younger. But I remember thinking that when I was pregnant, like they would be like my daydreams. And I remember sitting on the bed with Daisy when she was like 7, 8, brushing her hair. And she was screaming and she was trying to grab the brush and we were arguing. Mummy, it hurts. Mummy, you're horrid. Mummy, I hate you. All that shit. And I just thought, where's that daydream? Because it just wasn't in my reality. Obviously, of course, I have wonderful moments with my girls. I do. I guess I'm trying to be honest because I don't think there's enough of it in the motherhood space. I just don't.
Mm.
And I know there are some people that are doing wonderful work. Like Zoe Blasky does wonderful work in the motherhood space. She does.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's not. It doesn't seem loud enough. I don't hear enough in a public forum of how I feel about motherhood. I just don't.
Mm.
It doesn't feel represented. I never hear it.
Mm. Because maybe people don't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But then if other women are feeling that way, why aren't we talking about it? Why aren't we talking about it? What are we so afraid of?
I think there is a lot of this martyrdom of motherhood business that you are supposed to be joyful and happy all the time when you have children. But they're not always joyful and happy. Sometimes they're just a fucking pain.
Motherhood's really hard. It's really hard. It's the hardest area in my life. It's the most rewarding area in my life as well.
Mm.
And it's hugely important to me, of course.
Mm.
And if I had to choose anything in my life over anything, it's my kids first, always.
Me too.
Always. That's without question. But I find it so challenging.
How do you think life would have looked and felt if you had remained child-free?
Well, interesting. My sister, who is older than me, she doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it.
Yeah.
Up close and personal as to what my life would look like without kids.
Yeah.
And she's gone through, you know, her own journey with that. And it would just be very different. I don't think it's better, worse, lonelier, any of these things. My sister has a wonderful, full life.
Mm.
And she has wonderful people around her. And she's exceptionally close to my kids.
Mm.
She's like their second mum.
Yeah.
So they'll go to her for anything.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. They're really close with her. So she's been able to have that very close relationship with her nieces because she's got the space to do that. Mm. I think my life would have been just different. Mm. I don't think it would have been better or worse.
Mm. I'm thinking a lot about, there's been a lot of talk with Elizabeth Day at the moment about how she's sort of found peace,
yes,
with remaining child-free and how she's given up. She gave up her fertility journey and how actually there was a huge amount of relief in that and just enjoying life as a child-free woman.
Yes.
She's the same age as us, isn't yes. she, in her mid-40s?
Yes.
Which
must have been so hard. If it's something you have always yearned for.
Well, I think about it a lot because, you know, give it a couple of twists of fate and that could have been me. So I think about
could
it.
Could have been either one of us.
Yes. But I resonate with her because I also went through a whole infertility thing. And I know how consuming and desperate and sad and upsetting and hard that is to go through. But I also know the joy of having those children on the other side of it. And so I often think about what that would be like to have to come to terms with that or to find peace with that.
What I find interesting is that whenever anyone asks me about my sister,
yeah,
they always say, oh, has she met anyone?
Mm.
It's their first question, as in, is she going to get married? Mm. Is she going to do the conventional thing? Is she going to have kids? Like, it's what people's minds immediately go.
Yeah.
And she's also had to make her peace with it.
Of course.
But she leads a really great, lovely life.
Yeah.
She has a wonderful life. And it doesn't mean that her life has any less worth attached to it because she isn't a mum.
Of course not.
But I think in society, that is a woman's role.
Yes, and also it's atypical, so it sticks out.
Yeah.
I also have a couple of friends who are child-free, not necessarily by choice, but it is how their lives have panned out.
Yeah.
And they have also come to, you know, they have come to accept that, and that is how they are. And they also have very full, very busy, very rich lives with children in the, you know, who surround it, nieces and nephews and friends' children and everything else. It's not the same. It's different. Life looks different. I don't know. I mean, if I had no choice, I'd have to find peace with it, but I don't know how I would.
We can't answer that question.
We can't.
We just cannot.
We can't.
We're not in that position to do so.
But I think about it a lot because it feels so fundamental to who I am. And so I do.
Well, like
I do
someone
think
like
about
Elizabeth
that.
Day, it was fundamental to who
yeah,
she is.
I do think about it a
but
lot.
It doesn't mean that your life is over or that you don't have a lot of life to live.
Absolutely.
And a lot of love to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
My sister's the most loving person you will
she is.
Ever
She's
meet.
She's gorgeous.
She's the most generous person you'll ever meet. And she lives a very, very good life. And I wouldn't want anyone to think when they see a child-free woman, because it's different to a child-free man.
Of course it is.
Of course.
Obviously.
That they need pity or they need any of those feelings that are anything other than positive. Or
this is just how their life is.
This is just how like their life is.
Yeah.
But I think there's just so much pressure that society puts
massive.
On a woman to be a mother.
Absolutely.
And that's what increases her worth in society.
Yeah. What are you most proud of in your motherhood journey? I want to end on something positive.
God. About me as a mother or about my kids? About me as a mother?
Both. Either.
You go first. What's yours?
I'm proud of how my kids are turning out because they're old enough now that I can see some results in the experiment.
Yeah.
I've got two near adults.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I've kind of completed the actual parenting bit of parenting because at 20, you're still parenting,
but
it's very different.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you have, it's result based now.
It's result
based.
Because
when they're 8, 9, 10, it's not result based.
No.
You don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah. It's pretty result based in 1 and 2. I mean, I could die of pride of my oldest, all of them really, but you know, he is a beautiful person inside and out. I cannot take all the credit for that because he's just a beautiful person. And I don't think that's down to me. He's much nicer than me.
But you take all the, you take the heavy load if he wasn't, wouldn't
Probably.
You?
Probably. He's kinder than me. He's nicer than me. He's diligent. He's just great. I'm so proud.
What are you
proud
of?
Of him.
Not let's not do the external, the internal. Like, what are you proud of you as a mother?
I'm proud of having done the fundamental bits of the raising alone. When I say alone, obviously Ollie is around, but he was at work, so really I was alone. I do feel proud of having taken that on and doing it myself without external help. That is no shade on anyone who takes the external help, and God knows most women need it to go to work and everything else. And I also have to acknowledge my huge privilege in being able to be home with them for as long as I was. And like you, I created my job as a doula so that I was really only gone for a birth and meetings in the evenings, and the rest of the time I was home with the kids, and I wanted that. I curated that. So I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of, you know what? It's a really hard question.
I know.
Because I do feel proud, but I'm trying to think, like, what are the things that quantify what I feel proud of in motherhood? I feel proud that I hope they're able to come to me and be open with me and be themselves with me. I'm proud of giving them a loving, stable, safe base. I think I'm proud of those things.
Lovely.
It's still your turn.
Oh. Honestly, I can't really answer it. I don't have an answer. Because if I then start telling you all the things I'm proud of, I don't feel proud. I feel proud of my kids.
Yeah.
I do.
But they don't exist in a vacuum.
At points, I feel proud of my kids. You know, my 13-year-old is very in the 13 phase. So we're very in the trenches of the teenage thing. And my 16-year-old is like she's come out of it. And
yeah.
She's sweet and kind, and she's just a beautiful person, and I'm proud of her. But if you ask me how I feel as proud as a mother, I can't answer that. I'm gonna think about it, because I think it's really sad that I can't answer it, but I can't, and I don't want to give some bullshit answer that's not true.
Thank you for being honest.
Yeah. What is the one thing you hope your children learn from you?
How to cook properly.
That's a really good one, though. That will really see them through life.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is really fucking fundamental for me.
Do you know what mine is?
What?
That if you want to achieve anything in life, you have to do that for yourself. And no one is coming through the door giving you a free lunch. That everything you want is within your grasp, but you have to go and get it and work for it. And that can be hugely exhilarating and exciting. And it means you are totally in charge of your own destiny. Mm. And I really hope that they see me doing that.
I think they do.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. So I think that's our show on motherhood. I don't know how I feel about any of it.
A mixed bag.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a hard show for me.
I know.
It's not a conversation I'm comfortable having.
I know, but thank you for having it.
Thanks.
And being so honest about it.
Listen, I hope that it resonates with some people. I really do believe that there is not enough of this conversation in how I feel about motherhood.
I agree.
And I'm sure I don't feel this alone.
I am damn sure that you do not feel it alone.
So why isn't it there?
Because you're right, it does long go beyond the toddler years, and we're so out of that stage now that it's quite easy for us to look back with like, oh, for goodness sake, I know it's hard to have a 2-year-old, but you know, wait till they're a teenager.
Actually,
it's hard to go back to that physical and emotional overwhelm of having a 2-year-old that throws itself on the floor every 5 minutes, because it's fucking exhausting.
Exhausting. Who was I talking to the other day? And they said, I can't remember who it was. And they did, they had a young child, really young child. And I said to her, oh, yes. She's got two 3-year-old twins.
Wow.
And
wow.
She said, oh, wow. God, you know, I know that they say little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. And I said, you know, don't do that to yourself, because what you are dealing with at the moment is really, really hard.
Mm.
Firstly, I've never had twins, but also a 3-year-old is really hard.
They are challenging little
souls. It's hard
souls.
Going to be, going being at home with them and doing it all yourself and trying to raise these kids and not knowing what the fuck you're doing, and you're exhausted and you're stretched and, you know, don't diminish it.
The challenges just change as the children grow.
They change.
I think that's what you learn.
That's exactly what I said to her. I said, they don't get harder or easier. They just change.
And it just, that's like when we were talking about how, the difference between first, second and third, I think what you learn with by the time you've had the third is like each bit's a phase, each bit presents its own joys and challenges, but you do move through, you know, it moves quick, and it's so fucking trite that the days are long and the years are short. But my God, I still feel like I've just given birth to this beautiful baby on a towel on the floor on a Friday night at 9:35 in 2004, and he's 20 and I feel like it's yesterday, and it's just gone. It's just gone in a flash. It's gone, you know. So
I saw a picture of... my friend sent me a picture of the girls, and they were sitting next to her girls, and Lily Rose was like two.
Yeah.
She was the squidgiest, squashiest, most delicious little thing. And honestly, I looked at this photo and I zoomed in on my phone and I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Because I just miss her.
Yeah. I still miss my babies.
But I don't miss that period, but I miss her being that little.
There is something delicious about
it.
Yeah,
there is. So... you have little children.
Oh, enjoy it
as much as you can. As much as you can. If you want to be in touch, we hope some of that resonated. hello@theselfcareclub.co.uk. Tell us your experiences on motherhood. We would love to know, wouldn't we? We really would. And we will be back on Wednesday for a midweek meltdown, and we'll be back on Friday for our
weekly wellness roundup
show.
Can
never get that off my tongue. Look after yourselves. Be back on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.